This is the Frogcast.
Well, hello and welcome to the Frogcast. We are glad to welcome you back for our second episode after a successful first week where we had over 200 unique downloads for this very first episode of the Frogcast. We are here to talk all things TCU, Big 12, and college football. So if you have a passion for that, you are in the right place. Fellas, the long summer is finally over and college football is finally here. We never thought it would get here, but it is here this week. Are you guys ready for some college football?
Man, I am so freaking fired up. Like, I needed a football fix so bad this past weekend. I mean, I would watch the North Dakota, Montana State game or whatever. I think it was on Saturday, and I think there was high school football on Saturday. Euless Trinity played. I know Arlington Martin was on ESPN also. I just needed a football fix, so I was trying to find it wherever I could this weekend. And so, yeah, I am itching at the bit to get this season going, especially since, you know, TCU is expected to have such a great season. I'm ready for the talk to end and the play to begin.
I'm probably as excited about this season as I have been. I don't even know, the anticipation after what happened last year and, you know, having to wait all summer and, you know, it's here. We are here. And I couldn't be happier.
The preseason expectations have never been higher in Fort Worth. This is the highest preseason ranking we've ever had. The Frogs are number two in both the AP as well as the coaches poll. And they go on the road on a Thursday night, this Thursday night, traveling to Minnesota. Who knew last season that Minnesota would play such a big role in the playoff discussion? They were actually the team that played both TCU as well as Ohio State. And if you will remember, we beat them by more than 3 touchdowns and Minnesota lost by 1. And so we travel up there to Minnesota this Thursday night to kick off not only college football, but to kick off hopefully our march towards the playoffs. Fellas, what do you see as the big keys to a Frog victory on the road in what will probably be a record sellout at Minnesota? What do we need to do to win this game?
Well, for me, for TCU, I see the biggest thing as the TCU defensive line controlling the line of scrimmage. I think Minnesota is going to come out. You know, they're a Big Ten team. You know, they rely heavily on the run. I'm not too scared about their quarterback beating us with his arm. He can make some plays, but I don't, you know, think he's necessarily going to beat us downfield. I think they're going to try to set up the run. And if the TCU defensive line can control that line of scrimmage, not allow the running game to get going, force Minnesota to be a little bit more one-dimensional, and then I think, you know, that really sets off the secondary to be able to look for those passes, jump into some of those lanes, maybe create some turnovers. And for Minnesota, I think they need to be looking at ball control. They need to control the time of possession, need to go on long drives. If you look at some of the stats from last season, they are 3-16 on third down against the Frogs. So, you know, they really need to convert some of those third downs to keep their offense on the field. And also, if you look at last year's game, Minnesota had 5 turnovers. So if they want any chance of winning this ball game, they cannot turn the ball over 5 times, and they've got to control the time of possession. Because if they leave the TCU offense on the field, I think the Frogs are going to overwhelm them. I don't see Minnesota having the athletes to be able to keep up. You know, I don't know if I'm being overconfident or not, but I think the Frogs run away with this one pretty easily, guys.
I do too. And, you know, last year, Minnesota, they saw, actually that was the first time anybody saw, you know, the new spread offense. Now, of course, they got a year's worth of film to check out, so they got a much better study on us, you know. And I don't expect Doug Meacham to unleash any new plays until we get to conference play or anything like that. So they probably won't. It'll probably be stuff that they've already seen and they can prepare for. We will not have Deontay Gray which is we've got Doxson and Listenby. Deontay Gray's going to be out for a while. Minnesota looks like to have could be the best cornerbacks in the Big Ten. So they will have to execute, I think. As far as us on defense and Minnesota on offense, you know, they lost their best offensive player last year in David Cobb. Their quarterback, Mitch Leitner, he's probably improved a little bit, but it's not going to be a whole lot. The only real question, of course, we got some freshman linebackers out there, and they're extra fast, but that's pretty much going to be their first college game. So it could get dicey defensively, but I think TCU pulls it off very well.
Yeah, I'm curious to see Mike Freeze on the field, who is a freshman that didn't get to play his senior year with a shoulder injury. He came on campus early and participated in spring ball, immediately shot right up to the top of the depth chart. And we can talk about how he's fast, and we can talk about how he's big, but putting that into live action on the road in the Big Ten is not going to be simple. So I'm going to have my eye on Mike Freeze. The other guy that I'm kind of counting on to have a breakout season is Tyce Lanina. I know that everybody is going to try to lock down Doxson and Listenby, but I think the passing game, if it does open up and go to another level in year two, it's being able to hit a slant, maybe a 7-yard crossing pattern that we didn't really have in the arsenal a lot last year. And he's the kind of guy that is not afraid to go over the middle, that is going to hold onto the ball. He's an excellent downfield blocker, but when he gets that ball, he's going to kick it into high gear and not be afraid to hit somebody when he needs to get an extra couple of yards. So you guys want to go on the record for a prediction of the score for this game?
Yeah, I can do that. You know, I'm thinking, you know, it was 30-7 last year, and I think TCU kind of, I don't know if you want to say, let off the brakes in the second half, but kind of were maybe a little less motivated, or, you know, didn't necessarily run the offense as they normally would. I think they know this year that every game is going to be looked at, every game is going to be scrutinized, and, you know, really when people go back and look at this game, they're just going to look at the score because it's the first game of the season. So they're really going to try to dominate this one. And I'm going to go TCU 42, Minnesota 17.
I kind of feel the same way. I'm not really sure. I mean, you know, we talk about how we take the foot off the gas or foot off the throat or whatever and just kind of put in the backups and let the game kind of finish out. But I don't know. I think the style points might matter. But I don't know if Gary Patterson is going to do that against his buddy Jerry Kill. But I see it at 48-14.
Yeah, I'm in much the same ballpark as you guys are. I do think we're going to break 50, and I could see 51-24. And I think Minnesota will probably get those that last field goal or touchdown in the fourth quarter against our second string on defense. So I see all of us are in the same ballpark. I think we're going to see a lot of offense. I think we're going to see them run the clock down in the last few minutes. But I think we're all in agreement that we're going to come out of the Twin Cities with a big win on the road with the national audience in order to kick off this year with the expectations through the roof. Well, we are not the only team that is going to have some sense of high-profile non-conference game to kick off the season. We're all going to take a look at a few games that are going on in the Big 12, some non-conference games to kick off the season. And the biggest one that if this game would have been played 7 years ago, game day would have been there, everybody would have been there, but it's still getting hyped just because of tradition. Trey, what do you see going on up here in South Bend as the Longhorns travel to take on the Fighting Irish?
Yeah, this is one of the premier out-of-conference games for the Big 12 this season. And, you know, it's a game that really I'm going to have to root for Texas in this one just because it's going to make the conference look that much better if they can knock off Notre Dame. Notre Dame's had the early, you know, preseason hype kind of like they normally do. And it's somewhat well-deserved. They're bringing back 19 of 22 starters while, you know, the Longhorns are coming off their first losing season since 1997. So, you know, both programs, you know, maybe going in a little bit different direction, you could say. But, you know, Texas still trying to get things turned around there with Charlie Strong. And to me, it's just hard for me to see Texas winning this game just solely because of Tyrone Swoops. I mean, they haven't fully named their starter yet, but from everything I've seen and read, it's pretty much assumed that Swoops is going to be the starter. And if that's the case, unless he's just made huge, you know, leaps in his progression over the offseason, I don't know if I can see them pulling this off. As much as I really, really want the Longhorns to do it, and it pains me to say that, but I just it's hard for me to see Texas winning this game.
Well, it's like you talked about last week. We need the Big 12 to win these games. So I'm joining you in pulling for the Longhorns. You know, not only the Longhorns, and next weekend we'll be looking at the Sooners going to visit the Volunteers in Knoxville. That's another big game that we need the Big 12 to come through on. But I unfortunately agree with you. I'll be pulling for the Horns, but I just don't see any way they get it done in South Bend. Well, speaking of two teams we can't stand, Baylor is going on the road to Dallas to take on the SMU Mustangs. They got a new first-year coach there in Chad Morris. Daniel, what do you see going on as the Bears make their way up I-35?
Well, I was hoping that maybe with this massive distraction going on down there in Waco that, you know, you'd think Chad Morris maybe has a chance at a crazy upset over Baylor. At least I could dream that anyway, but I don't see that happening at all. Baylor's probably going to give them a good whooping. I don't know, I'd say 42-14 almost.
Yeah, I like Chad Morris. I think he's going to win a few seasons at SMU, yep. And then I think he's going to take a job at A&M or take a job at Texas Tech. He's not long for Dallas, but the thing about June Jones, the last few years that he was there, even the years that he made had a few wins and got to some bowl games, so many of his recruits came from outside of Texas. And he's had so many recruits leave in the last year that their roster is just depleted. And they have no talent left. So I don't see Chad Morris being able to do much there.
Yeah, I think honestly, I think Baylor hangs 60 on him at least. I don't see it even being close as much as it would thrill me to death to see SMU pull off that upset. I just think Baylor's too good.
It's just a raw talent thing, really.
Yeah, it really is.
Now, I don't say this to be pejorative. Would you be surprised if Briles is so frustrated from the last 3 weeks that he's still running five verticals in the fourth quarter when they're up by 60? I could see him throwing deep late into the fourth quarter just to say, I don't care what anybody else says. This is how we play football. Maybe. I could see him doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing I'll be curious, and we'll talk about this in a minute, is the Kendall Briles is the offensive coordinator at Baylor. I want to see how that transitions. So I'll peek in on that game just to keep an eye on it. So one of the other games that's below the radar that caught my attention that I want to go out on a limb here with is West Virginia is playing host to a team that you probably never heard of called Georgia Southern. Now, Georgia Southern is not Division II. Georgia Southern is not FCS. They are a Division I team that last year spent their first season in Division I as a member of the Sun Belt. And they are probably the only 9-3 team you have never heard of. Last year, they kicked off the season by losing by 1 at NC State. The third week of the season, they lost by 4 at Georgia Tech. Same Georgia Tech that beat Mississippi State, that should have beat Florida State and won the Orange Bowl. They later in the season lost to Navy, but they ended up going 9-3 and running away with the conference. And so I'm going to go out on a limb, and I have seen how many starters they have returning, and I know that Morgantown is a really tough place to play, as Baylor knows, as TCU knows. I think Georgia Southern is going to beat West Virginia the first game of the season. I think West Virginia can still make some noise in the conference the same way that Kansas State was able to a few years ago when they lost to North Dakota State right out of the gate. But I just think that Georgia Southern is going to sneak up on West Virginia, and they're going to win that game, and they're going to go 11-1 and represent the Gang of Five probably in the Fiesta Bowl, or maybe even the Peach Bowl, probably the Peach Bowl, come to think of it. They have Georgia late in the season, and I think that's going to be their only loss. Now, everybody can laugh at me when Dana scores 50 the first week and makes me look stupid, but if I was a gambling man, which I'm not, I would go ahead and put a little money on this line because I think that the Mountaineers are going to be surprised when they have Georgia Southern roll in to Morgantown. So you guys can feel free to tease me about that the rest of the year, but that's what I want to do is see the Mountaineers get beat.
Yeah, that's a bold prediction. I don't know if I can roll with that one. I think West Virginia is going to be an improved team this year. I think they're going to be a lot better than they were last year.
But yeah.
You never know. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the Big 12, let's look around the rest of the conference. Who do you guys see coming in, and we'll just look at the top four. Who are the four teams that are going to end up at the top of this conference at the end of the season, and how do you see that playing out in terms of the wins and losses against each other? Trey, take it away.
Yeah, I think, well, with my purple shades on, I'm going to say TCU wins the conference, and then Baylor second, and I'm going to go Oklahoma State 3 and then Oklahoma 4. And the reason why I'm going Oklahoma State 3 is their schedule sets up real nice for them this year. If you look at their out-of-conference, they have Central Michigan, Central Arkansas, and UTSA. So they should easily dismiss all three of those teams. And then they get Kansas State, TCU, Baylor, and Oklahoma in Stillwater. So they get all the top teams in the conference at home this year. Their hardest game is either at West Virginia or I guess at Texas but their schedule sets up real nice. They close out with Baylor and Oklahoma at home to end their season. So with that being said, I think Oklahoma State's third and Oklahoma fourth. I'm just not sold on Baker Mayfield. They're installing a new offense, which I know the Frogs did last year and they had success, but new quarterback, new offense. I think Oklahoma, you know, causes some problems for teams this year, and I think they're gonna play better than they did last year, but I don't see them winning the conference this year like, you know, a lot of others have picked.
So do you see TCU going undefeated, Baylor with one loss, Oklahoma State with two, and Oklahoma with three?
Honestly, I kind of see I think TCU, after all that being said, I think TCU loses in Norman. I think that's the Frogs' only loss of the season. And then I think TCU beats Baylor, which will then give them the head-to-head over them, which I think is going to be hilarious and just absolutely kill that whole fan base. And then, yeah, I think Oklahoma ends with probably two losses. I think they lose to Baylor and one other team. And so I kind of think that I see that shaking. I don't know. Something like that. I haven't worked it all out in my head, but something like that.
Daniel, how do you see the Big 12 shaking out at the top?
I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going to say TCU ends up on top, undefeated. But I got Baylor and Oklahoma State swapped. I say Oklahoma State comes in second based on their schedule and everything. I think they lose one. I think Baylor maybe probably loses two and comes in at third place. And then I got Oklahoma probably at 9-3 in fourth place. I mean, I don't know. Why not?
Why not? Yeah, picking the if I remember correctly, no one has run the table. I know that for sure in the Big 12 since they went to the round robin. No one has gone undefeated in conference. And in my memory, the conference has never gone chalk, as we would call it. There's an undefeated, you know, a one-loss team and then a two-loss team and then a three. There is always some sense of there's a jumbling at the top. Even last year with middle of the road West Virginia beating Baylor and you know, causing all of the issues that came from that. So I am going to go ahead and trust that this is the year that we have an anomaly, because I'm going to go ahead and pick TCU. I think we're going to win. I think we're going to win it all. I think we're going to go undefeated in the conference. And I think Baylor and TCU meet on Black Friday, both undefeated. I think Baylor is going to end up 11-1, and I think their only loss is going to end up being to us. And I'm going to go with Trey and have Oklahoma State coming in third. And if it was last year's schedule with this year's team, I'd probably pick it differently. But they're probably going to split with those four big games that we had that you mentioned. I can see Oklahoma State doing that, even though they were just a kicker, you know, a play or two away from not even going to a bowl, and maybe Mike Gundy doesn't have his job, but I do think they bounce back. And then Oklahoma comes in fourth, and I just think it's going to be another long season in Norman. They're going to have all of that talent and so much frustration, and I just don't know how much longer Stoops can keep his job. So that's where I see things coming in. Is there anybody else that we didn't mention that you guys see making some noise in the Big 12, or any upsets that you might want to that we might want to keep our eye on?
Not on my part, not really. I think after the four we just kind of went over, we're all kind of pretty much on the same page. I think West Virginia does pretty well. Texas, I'm not sold on just yet. I don't see Kansas State being quite as good this year. And then the rest, Tech's going to be garbage and, you know, status quo.
Status quo in Lubbock as always. Trey, anybody else you see in the conference making some noise?
No, I mean, I think West Virginia just, like I said earlier, I think they're going to be better this year. I think that going into Morgantown, it's a tough place to play. So it wouldn't shock me, say, if they creeped into the top four. But to me, it's a pretty clear top four of TCU, Baylor, and the two Oklahoma schools. I think that's what it's going to shake out to be in some order of those four.
Part of me wants to predict that Texas is going to have a better season than last year. I really like Charlie Strong personally. I think he's a good coach. I like him as a quarterback and as a football coach as well as a leader. They just have no offense. I just don't see them, you know, if they have to get in a shootout with any of those four teams above them, there's no way that they can stay in it. And while they might be improved, I think they could miss a bowl. If they split with Cal and Notre Dame, they could end up in a spot where they might not even make a bowl. If they lose that game against Cal the third weekend of the year, I could see Texas not making a bowl. And talk about a long season in Norman. It is going to be a long season in Austin if they go 6-6 again, or heaven forbid they end up at 5-7. Well, good thing is, hopefully we as Frog fans don't have to worry about that this year, because the thing we are aiming for and hoping to be in the conversation for is the second annual college football playoff. And so what I'd love to get is some feedback on who are the four teams that you see making the playoff this year, and is there going to be anything different than last year where they think it's just the best four conference champs, or are we going to get creative this year and maybe get a conference in with two teams? Who do you guys see making in to the college football playoff?
Well, I'm going with TCU and Ohio State. I think, you know, preseason 1 and 2, I think they get into the Final Four. I'm going with Alabama out of the SEC. I'm just not buying into the Auburn love. And then, you know, a lot of people have been picking LSU also. I don't necessarily like their quarterback situation. So I'm going to go with, I think Alabama gets it going once again this season. And I think my fourth team is probably going to be a little bit of a surprise. I'm going with Clemson, which means I think the Pac-12 is the conference that gets left out this year. And I say that just because I think Oregon is going to take a small step back, replacing Mariota. And I don't know about USC personally. I just say all this because I think the Pac-12 champ, I think, is going to have two losses. And I think Clemson will come out with just one loss, and that'll get them in. So that's my out there pick, and I'm going to say TCU, Ohio State, Alabama, and Clemson.
I got Ohio State coming in. Their schedule, I mean, they're coming in at number one, and then their schedule is just weak, so they're not going to go anywhere. And then TCU, and then I went ahead and picked Auburn just because I'm tired of Alabama, so why not? And then I actually went ahead with USC. I don't know. Well, I just one of those another ones like why not? Because I've looked into it, and I just like USC a little bit. I don't know how good the ACC is going to be. Although Clemson's a good pick, I'd probably toss those up. But so Ohio State, TCU, Auburn, and USC.
Well, I'm gonna shock everybody and pick the Frogs to make the playoffs, and I actually think we're gonna have the potential to be the number one seed going in. Because I have Michigan State coming out of the Big Ten, and I think Michigan State is going to win the Big Ten championship, and Auburn is going to represent the SEC, I believe, in the playoff, possibly with two losses. I don't see anybody making it to the SEC title game from the West with less than two losses. And if I wasn't picking Auburn, I'd probably pick Arkansas, I think, if there's one team to keep an eye on. But I'm going to go with Auburn. And I think this is going to be the anomaly. I don't think it's going to happen very often, but I think Ohio State is going to make the playoff as well. I think there's going to be two teams from the Big Ten. I think, you know, personally, just kind of looking at the committee, I think there's a Big Ten bias in it. I'm not trying to sound like a whiner, but I think there's a lot of Big Ten voices represented in that room. And I could see Michigan State beating Oregon, who I have winning the Pac-12 in that non-conference game up there in East Lansing. And then Ohio State going 11-1. And I think that both of those teams could get in. I think Oregon, like I said, is going to win the Pac-12, but I think they're going to have two losses. And I agree with you all thinking Clemson is going to win the ACC, but they only returned two starters from that defense last year that was so strong, And, you know, Deshaun Watson, people are high on, and I think he's going to be a real talent. But I just don't see anybody coming out of the ACC with less than two losses. And I think the committee's going to want to put Ohio State in again. So I see two teams from the Big Ten, one team in Auburn getting in, and then TCU getting in. And this is kind of inside baseball here, but as the number one seed, I sure hope that we get to play that first playoff game in Jerry World. I think, you know, it's they're hosting one of the playoff games. So I sure hope that we can have TCU in the first round right there in the Cotton Bowl. I think that would be amazing. We might get more fans to that than we did to Amon Carter. So those are the four teams that I have going in to the playoff. Anybody else that's kind of off the radar that you wouldn't be surprised if they made a run at the title? I mentioned Arkansas, but is there anybody else that you guys can think of?
I like Michigan State. I think they're going to be strong. You know, Georgia's always, it seems like every year Georgia's a preseason top 10, and then they just never live up to the hype and end up losing two or three games or something. But maybe they can get it going. You know, a lot of people, I think the Sports Illustrated, I think they had Notre Dame in their top four. You know, we mentioned earlier they have a lot of starters coming back. So, you know, they have a potential to sneak in there. But outside of that, you know, those are kind of the teams I would be looking at.
I like Michigan State too. I became a huge Michigan State fan. So I'm not really surprised to hear you say that. In fact, I kind of would like to see them in. That'd be kind of fun. Anybody else? Maybe Notre Dame or something. All the big media, of course, are hyped on them, and they play a lot of ACC teams. It could happen, but I also like you mentioned Arkansas. I think they're going to be really coming around, and they're going to give us fits come next year.
Yeah. I could see Arkansas keeping some people out of the playoff. I could see Arkansas beating Auburn. I could see Arkansas beating Alabama. And I could see them being the reason that the SEC West has, you know, two losses that potentially could keep them out of the playoff. So, you know, one of the interesting things is how many top 10 programs haven't named a starter or just named a starter at quarterback this week. Alabama has not named a starter yet. Ohio State has not named a starter yet. I believe Oregon just named Vernon Adams, the transfer that's been on campus all of 2.5 weeks. They just named him the starter, which has got to feel good for the guy that's been there all summer. So there are a lot of quality programs that people could pick to go to the playoff that, you know, nobody would bat an eye at, that don't even have their starting quarterback nailed down. That doesn't mean there's instability, but it does mean that we are blessed as Frog fans to have the number one quarterback in the country coming back in Trevon Boykin. I know that this is kind of off the cuff, but do you fellas see him being the front runner for the Heisman going in this season?
He's up there. You know, I think a lot of other players get more preseason hype than Boykin has. I think on a lot of the shows they mention him, but kind of gloss over him slightly. I don't know. It's going to take a pretty special year, I think, for him to win the Heisman, which he can do. But I don't know. It's going back kind of your quarterback comment and all of that, it's just going to be a really interesting year because there are a lot of teams with new quarterbacks, or, you know, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of people think, you know, it's going to be TCU that wins the Big 12. A lot of people think it's Baylor. Then there's some that's picking Oklahoma. And then, like, it seems just like every conference, you know, there's not really a solid unanimous pick. You know, there's a lot of people say Alabama. There's others saying Auburn and the Pac-12. And you go back and forth, I guess, kind of, you know, it's Ohio State seems to be the consensus out of the Big Ten, but then we mentioned Michigan State also. So I just think it's going to be a really interesting year. And, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I have a feeling Boykin will be one of the three or four they invite to, you know, New York at the end of the year. But I really don't know. It just I don't know what to think, really.
Yeah. Well, they say that basically the Heisman goes to the best quarterback on the best team. And so we don't need a campaign. We don't need any bumper stickers. We just need to win. And I think that will put him in as good a position as they can. And somebody else pointed this out on SportsCenter this week, but his schedule stacks up to be able to create some quote-unquote Heisman moments at the end of the season when people are paying attention. When we close out at Norman and then at home against Baylor with the game on Black Friday that everybody will be watching, I think if he's going to win it, that's his chance to do it. So I'll be interested to see how he performs in those last two games. And if he doesn't perform well, we don't care about the Heisman because the playoff run will have come to an end. So, Daniel, any thoughts you have to wrap up on Boykin and his Heisman run?
I think he's, you know, strong favorite coming in. But, yeah, he's going to have an impressive year. We're going to have to see, you know, fake outs like at in the Peach Bowl and flips and like over at Kansas State and things like that. It's going to be really tough, but it's possible. But there's a, you know, there's several other good candidates out there. But I think at the very, very least, he is invited to New York.
Absolutely.
And I think you could, even if Boykin's stats say, you know, don't this year don't measure up to last year, say he doesn't throw for as many yards or as many touchdowns, because I mean I think that last season is a hard expectation to live up to, but I do think he's gonna be better overall. Like, I think you're gonna see him make better decisions, and there's gonna be less interceptions, and I think, you know, his decision making and all of that, I think the whole package as a quarterback, you're gonna see him play a lot better this year. And I don't know if he'll necessarily put up the stats he did last year, but I think he's gonna be a really impressive quarterback this year.
Yeah, I agree. He's had the entire off season where he stayed on campus to get better, and I think we're going to see the fruits of that this entire season. Mm-hmm. Well, fellas, this comes to the end of our second episode of the Frogcast, and just on a personal note, I am looking forward to seeing the Frogs live for the first time in 9 years. I am making the drive up here from suburban Chicago to go to the Minnesota game. So my son and I are, he's really heartbroken. He gets to skip a couple of days of school to go to a football game. And so we are going to go up and go to the Minnesota game. They won't let me into the press room, so that kind of broke my heart. But I'm going to get some good pictures and hopefully get some good video and maybe shake a few hands of the team when they get off of the bus. But I am really looking forward to seeing the Frogs live. And if things break my way, I'm going to see them 3 times this year. I'm going to go to the Iowa State game, and then I've got tickets to Baylor. Nothing is going to keep me away from that game. So I am looking forward to the start of college football season this Thursday night at 8 o'clock on ESPN. So, fellas, for Trey Fallon, for Daniel Southern, I am Jeff Mitchell. Thank you for listening to the Frogcast.